Thanks very much. It's lovely to be here with you all. I think it's nice to be here, not in a church meeting, but actually here on a Sunday. And to be a part of your worship this morning on Father's Day, which is can be a bit of a complicated day for some of us, can't it? It's a lovely day, but it can be a bit of a complicated day. Should we just pray? And then I'll read our passage, unless someone else is down to read it. But no, I'll read it, and then we'll get into God's word. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed our Father, that you invite us into relationship with you, and that part of that relationship is to reach into your word for the goodness and the gifts that you want to pour into our hearts and our minds and our souls. So we pray that we would be receptive today to hear what your Holy Spirit wants to prompt us with, wants to point out to us today. Lord, may we receive your love today as that comes through your word too. And Lord Jesus, would we honour you in the way that we receive your word today, that we might become more like you as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, our reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 to 9. This is an Old Testament passage where God is giving instructions to his people, is reiterating the law, is giving them the law again, and is just telling them the things that are really important. And this is a really important passage about families and about how families are to learn together. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Beautiful words that talk about how it means, what it means to live in the goodness of God, to pass it on to our children and our children's children. And on a day like today, on Father's Day, some of us will have full hearts, won't we? Because we've been blessed with family. But some of us will find today difficult. Some of us will be grieving. I find myself in both of those places. I lost my dad in December, so this is the first Father's Day without my dad. But I have a wonderful husband. I've been, you know, privileged to have two wonderful daughters, and we've got two wonderful grandsons. So God's riches, you know, keep coming back to us, even if we're in a place of grief. So I don't know how you're coming to Father's Day this morning. If you've lost your dad or you never knew your dad, today is hard. If you would have loved to have been a dad, then this day can be especially hard. And we all come to church, don't we, with mixed experiences of the way that we've been parented and our own experiences of raising or being involved in perhaps other children's lives that we know. And what our passage today tells us is that whatever our experience, what we hand down to the next generation really matters. going to give us a bit of time to pause at this moment. We're going to play a song. It's not a Christian song, but it's a beautiful song by a singer called Mark Cohn. And it's his song to his child about the things he wants to hand down. And I thought it'd be good for us to just pause and reflect about some of the things that maybe have been handed down to us, some of the things we might want to hand down to our children.
Much about you, I don't know who you are. We've been doing fine without you, but we could only go so far. I don't know why you chose us. Were you watching from above? Is there someone there that knows us? Said we'd give you all our love. Laugh just like your mother. Will you sigh like your old man? Will something skip a generation like a herd they often can? Are you a poet or a dancer? A devil or a clown? Or a strange new combination of the things we've handed? I wonder who you look like. Will your hair fall down and curl? Will you be mama's boy or daddy's little girl? Will you be a sad reminder of what's been lost along the way? Maybe you can help me find her in the things you do and say. And these things that we've given you, they are not so easily found. Oh, but you can thank us later for the things we've handed down. The things we've handed down, 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 down. You may not always be so grateful for the way that you were made. Maybe some feature of your father's that you'd gladly sell or trade. And one day you may look at us and say that you were cursed. But over time that line has been extremely well rehearsed by our fathers and their fathers in some old and distant town. Places no one here remembers come the things we've handed down, the things we've handed down, yeah. The things we've handed down.
That we we hand down to them that are good, and the things that we're anxious about that we might hand down to them. You know, what we hand down to our children is so much more than our DNA, isn't it? It's our values, it's our beliefs, it's our loves, it's our disappointment, it's our anxieties and hope. It can be a love of music, and maybe we can move on with the PowerPoint now. It can be a love of a certain type of food. My husband's love language is a cooked breakfast. And so that's what I made him this morning. Or it can be a particular football team. You know, for some people, it's really important, isn't it, that their children carry on in those kind of traditions. Or maybe it's a special place. You know, on this Father's Day, we are probably all aware of either wonderful things our fathers passed on to us, or perhaps even more poignantly, a gap or an unhelpful burden that we've received. And as parents, we know we are all capable of passing on things more troublesome than a big nose or flat feet, aren't we? We all embody the things said over us, and the values we grow up with affect who we are, for good or for ill. Parenting is such a massive responsibility, isn't it? We spend the first few years trying to desperately keep our children alive, and then the years after that trying to share good things with them. And we're keenly aware that we are not the only influences on our children, aren't we? I'm so grateful that we raised our girls before social media took off. I take my hat off to anyone parenting now, trying to meet that challenge of who else is speaking into your child's life you can't even see. It's a confusing world out there, and what we share with our children matters more than ever. And so we come to this passage in Deuteronomy 6 where God tells his people how they are to share good things with their children. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. God is instilling in his children a way of life that will lead to meaning and fullness. These aren't hard rules to make life miserable. These are rules to live in freedom in the promised land that he's given them. He's encouraging his people to love him in the way that he loves them. And he longs for them to pass on this love to their children and their grandchildren. Now, I sometimes wonder what I'm passing on to my grandsons now. They're nearly 4 and 2. That's Enzo and Arthur. And our eldest, Enzo, has just discovered how to send voice notes. And so we've been receiving some rather lovely messages. And I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to try and play one of the messages. This was his first voice note to me. Let's see if it'll work.
Granny, I had a mango ice cream, and I really, really, really love you.
So, you'll have picked up from that I seem to have passed on to him a love of ice cream, which rather beautifully I got from my dad. Even when he was riddled with dementia, an ice cream would always make him smile. And so we'd been on holiday together and we'd enjoyed having ice creams together. But I'd also think we've passed on through our children and to him a real importance of telling each other that we love each other. Now, the commandments talked about in this passage from Deuteronomy can sound like something very austere, but in actual fact, they are about where our heart is and what we choose to love. God implores his people not just to tell their children about loving God and receiving his love, but also to live it. Now, I could tell Enzo all about ice cream and how much I love it and how wonderful it tastes. And in fact, his favourite while we're on holiday was mint choc chip, and I was trying to convert him to mango, which was why he wanted to phone me and tell me that he'd had a mango ice cream. Because every time we had ice creams, he'd have just a bit more of mine, because he had a big choice to make. But if we never ate ice cream together, I could tell him about it till I was blue in the face, but it wouldn't give him a passion for ice cream. There was a connection in the way that we lived ice cream on holiday. If we want our children to love God and to know his love for them, then we have to live it with them and enjoy him together. We have to share it with them every day in the everyday stuff of our lives. And as this passage says, talk about it as you go about your everyday life. You know, children soon notice if it's not actually ringing true, don't they? That's why I love working with children. I quite miss that in the job that I'm doing now, because I used to love the fact that, you know, when you're leading a church, if you're the real article, the children will be the first ones to point that out, won't they? And if you're a bit of a phony, they can tell that a mile off. And there's something wonderful and liberating about that. And so in this passage, it says, you know, talk about it in your everyday life. Make it part of your normality, that you talk about how much God loves us and how much we love him. If God is to be present in our children's lives, he has to be present in ours first. We have to live it. We can't pass on things that aren't real for us. And as much as we would all love to only pass on helpful things to others, we all know that we are capable of passing on unhelpful things too. Sometimes it can be fear of something or a habit that we'd rather give up. Sometimes it can be more destructive. And for some of us, the adults in our lives have said things over us that haven't brought us into a loving relationship with them or with God. In fact, some of us may still be grappling with some of those lies that were spoken over us as we grew. And the words God speaks over his people in this passage reminds us that he wants for all of his children a place of belonging and love. He doesn't want his people growing up loving him because he needs our love. Rather, he longs for us to grow up knowing our worth and responding to the God who made us and loves us and actually wants our love in return. We all need this circle of love and acceptance, and if we haven't received it as a child, it can be hard to receive it from God. On June the 5th, you may have heard an interview with Gareth Southgate on Radio 4. There's been quite a few programmes about Gareth Southgate, hasn't there? He's actually one of my heroes. I think he's a great bloke. And he's always articulate and compassionate, but Gareth spoke about the impact on our society of fatherless children. And he particularly wants to speak into the impact this is having on boys and young men who have no father figure in their lives and who, in previous years, might have had that gap filled with a male teacher or another male relative or male youth workers, but who now, because there are so few of those in our society, is much more likely to look for that kind of belonging and affirmation in gang culture. And Gareth was talking from a secular point of view, but his wisdom is echoed in the Bible when we look at the importance of knowing God as our Father and in passing down this love and belonging to each generation. As church, we may wonder what we can do in the face of society's challenges, but I can't help thinking that this gap might be something we can address. And I know that you have members of this church who are teachers, and some of you are male teachers. And Gareth pointed out in that interview that 1 in 3 primary schools have no male teachers now. Gareth pointed out that that is a problem, but it also means that those children are missing out on good role models early in their life. But what occurred to me is that the burden that places on the other teachers in the school. You know, the female teachers who are trying to be everything to those children, not to mention, and this is huge, the many, many single parents who are doing mothering and fathering on a superhuman level. We need to pray for single parents who are doing an incredibly hard task on their own and doing it well. We need to pray for teachers who are holding that space for children, often school being the only safe place in their lives, and having to do so much more teaching children to read and write and add up. Let's pray for them. But we in church can also help. People, both young and old, need the kind of extended family that church can provide. I just think it's beautiful the welcome you've got for families here. I love it. It's just great. And we need to be able to offer that, don't we? People who've grown up without the kind of love God offers and with no way of knowing how to love God in return need to find that love in the church. That lack of love and belonging leaves people so much less than God intended them to be. And the words of Deuteronomy are words for healthy living. God is asking families to pass on the most important thing in anyone's life, to love God and to be loved. He talks about commandments, but they are commandments to be loved and to love. And we have a duty to pass on this kind of knowledge and life to our own families, but we also have a duty to pass it on to those outside our families. We need to be on the lookout for God's orphan children in the world, to show them the kind of love and belonging that only God can give. Now, as he often did, Jesus describes the kind of welcome his father is longing to give each lost child in a story. The story of the prodigal son is perhaps the most loving and moving and arresting story that Jesus ever told. Jesus talks of a rebellious teenager or young man who chooses to reject the love and belonging of his father and ends up used and abused by the world. And as that dejected son winds his way home, this is how Jesus describes the father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so they began to celebrate. This is the welcome God longs to offer every fatherless child. This is the welcome he offers every single one of us, looking out for us to return. The love that God longs for in Deuteronomy is so often thrown back in his face by every prodigal son and daughter. And yet he doesn't give up on us. He looks out for each one of us and runs towards us as soon as he sees us on the horizon. It is this loving God we should be sharing with our children and our grandchildren. It is this God that the world full of fatherless sons and daughters needs. And as church, we can choose to celebrate over our own blessing, or we can look out for those lost children, like the father in Jesus' story. So today, if you're rejoicing in being a father or a grandfather, then I pray that you rejoice in sharing the love of God with your children and grandchildren. But if you're grieving today for the fatherhood that you never knew or weren't able to give, know that our Father God runs towards you to welcome you and love you, and that he longs for you to share that love with all his children. Let's pray. Father God, we have all come here this morning from very different places and very different experiences of being parented, of parenting, of finding our place in the world. And yet we are all, every single one of us, your children. We thank you that your love for us didn't wait for us to come to you, that you looked out for us, that you ran towards us, that you throw your arms around us and you tell us we are yours. Lord, I pray that there would be that realization, that knowing of that love for each one of us here today. And for those in our lives who don't yet know that love, Father, we pray that somehow you would give us the words or the actions to be able to share it. We have a world, Lord Jesus, that is so much in need of your love. So many broken lives, so many hurting hearts. Yet you have the remedy for all of that in your heart. Father, we want to say that we love you. We want to thank you that you continually forgive us, that you continually look out for us. And as we revel in your fatherhood of us, may we bring that healing to others around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a challenge to us. Share the love of Jesus with all those around us. And some people do find it difficult to share love. Sometimes the experience they've had has not been loving. But we thank you for that word. Speak to us. Priestly blessing. In fact, it said, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. We thank you. Or you just want love and peace for each one of us. And we're sorry, as a world, what a mess we've made of it. But we pray for this church of yours, that we would share the love of Jesus with all those we come into contact with, and especially the little ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Another song. Bit of negotiation going on. Oh, the children have got to come through. They do like that. Hello. That's good. It's good. The song first. Okay. Turn me off, please.
Very industrious out there. So we'll do the last hymn and then we'll have a chat with them after. That's okay. We have a good, good Father. In all circumstances, in all situations, he loves you and me and everybody. And it's up to us to decide to receive that love. Because if we can't receive it, how can we give it out? Let's celebrate that we have a Father God who is faithful.
And stories of what they think you're
tears of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am.
Tell us what you've been up to.
Am I on? All right, so we had lots of fun, lots of crafts, and they're still going on with some of the children in there, and they're going to probably go back and have some more fun. But we were talking about Jesus and how he sent the disciples out to catch lots of fish, which obviously we are also trying to do as well. But then we also talked about today and how it was special to some of them as well. So I'm just going to pass over.
Jesus and the disciple got lots of fish and he got 1,000.
We were learning about how Jesus and his disciples were on the boat, and they were catching fish, and they caught thousands. Their boat almost fell into the water.
We learned about when Jesus was catching every bit of fish. We learned about Jesus when he was 39 years old. We did something special. It was Father's Day.
We made some soft clay fish with some sprinkles and put them over it to look like fish.
We colored in fish.
Thank you.
Well, after that, what can follow but tea and coffee and biscuits? So please be invited and share in fellowship one with another and share the love of Jesus. Amen.
Writing you this letter from some old hotel. About you, I don't know who you are. We've been doing fine without you, but we could only go so far. I don't know why you chose us. Were you watching from above? Is there someone there that knows us? Said we'd give you all our love. Just like your mother, will you sigh like your old man? Will something skip a generation like a herd they often can? Are you a poet or a dancer, a devil or a clown, or a strange new combination of the things we've handed down? Wonder who you look like, will your hair fall down and curl? Will you be mama's